honorable members, officials of the department, members of the media, you are all welcome. I think very much I wanted time to deal with the maintenance bill has come, and hopefully it's not going to take us long. We have had very thorough discussions. I guess the government will brief us, and hopefully we should be able to agree so that we release those that are preparing for the debate this afternoon. Mr. Mr. Ross, over to you.
I'm sorry.
I wanted to call Mr. Bassett. I was interrupted in to call Mr. Ross instead of Ms. Ross. over to you.
Thank you, Chair. If we deal with maintenance, there's a working document that has been circulated indicating the proposed changes. We've also got an A-list of the maintenance amendment board. If the committee gets to that stage today, I've made it available. It's on the table there. But the working document sets out the whole bill with the proposed changes to date, and I'm going to ask Ms. Ross to take us through it. Thank you, Chair.
So the changes as are reflected in the document that's before the committee are as a result of the committee meetings on 25 February, 17, 18 and 26 March. And the insertions in the document that is proposed changes are indicated by way of double underlining, while the deletions are indicated by way of side throughs. I'm not sure. I depend on the guidance on the of committee on whether I should go through the whole amendments, including the ones that were discussed in the previous meetings, or only concentrate on the areas such as clause 2 and other areas that were still hanging from the previous meetings.
Don't plow the same field, just zoom into what needs to be done now.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, the clause 2 of the bill has been reworked, and that is the clause that deals with providing information on the whereabouts of persons who may be affected by maintenance orders. We've reworked that, and the changes are more apparent in paragraph 8 of the clause, where while the current bill reads to say the tariff payable to electronic communications service providers for providing information as determined by the minister in terms of section 44, subsection 8 of the Protection from Harassment Act 2011 apply in the case of information required in terms of this subsection. It will then end there, and then the words to say are subject to payable by the person who's in the complaint are then omitted, and paragraph I would then read the maintenance of, if the maintenance officer is of the opinion that the person lodging the complaint referred to in paragraph A is unable to pay the cost involved in the furnishing of information referred to in paragraph B, the maintenance officer may, at any time after the maintenance court issues a directive under the said paragraph B, request the maintenance court to hold an inquiry into the means of the complainant and any other circumstances which, in the opinion of the maintenance court, should be taken into consideration. And paragraph J would read, at the conclusion of the inquiry referred to in paragraph I, the maintenance court, may make such order as the court may deem fit relating to the payment of the cost involved with the furnishing of information referred to in paragraph B, including an order directing the state, subject to section 20, to pay such costs within available resources in the prescribed manner. And paragraph K reads as follows: the maintenance cost may, if it has ordered the state to pay the cost referred to in paragraph D, upon the application of the maintenance officer, order the person affected by the order to refund the cost so paid by the state in paragraph J in the prescribed manner. And paragraph, what was paragraph I would then become paragraph F because of the insertion of new paragraph C. The next change here would be in respect of clause 11 of the bill, which deals with submitting the details of a maintenance defaulter to a business that deals with credit rating of persons. The change there is to put in a safety measure so that there is the court involvement, so that the submission of the details of the person is submitted to a business involved in the credit rating once the court has granted an order and not on receipt of an application for default. Those are the changes.
Thank you. Thank you very much, and good morning. I think well, if you to say the following, that we are not taking the way the department has done very light. But they've done a beautiful job. And just to say that they must just bear with us when engaged in serious, robust discussions. The intention is just to shape the discussion and not necessarily to discourage and to attack. And also say that it was also wrong for the DA to prematurely make a match. When we were still deliberating in the committee, we were locked up in the committee discussing robustly. Then you take a match to the street as if we were finalized on any. So we should discourage those members from doing that. But reading the work that you see, I think that that opened, I accept the amendment. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. I don't know whether the Honourable Bongo is mischievous or whether I or Mary was only present in the flesh at the last meeting, but let me say this. We welcome the U-turn made by ANC on this issue, and let's leave it at that.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I must say that I'm less sociable than Mr. Bongo. I'm not sure if this is the time or the place for the Honourable Bongo to criticize the actions of another political party. I take exception to his remarks. But again, we welcome the flip-flop. Well done.
Thank you, Chairperson. I think we should actually have to do a flip-flop or U-turn. It's about discussion and applying our minds on what has been put on the table. And the unfortunate thing is when unfinished business is actually put to the public, what's the use of coming here and having a discussion and trying to engage on something so that you can manage to come to some agreement at the end? And then between you find it. There is action, I don't know whether it's about political point scoring, but let's actually try to refrain from that. If it becomes a pattern of this committee, that it actually really drives us into confusion as a committee. Let's give each other time to engage
Because remember, the committee meetings don't take the whole day. They just take a few hours per day, knowing very well that he's going to be meeting again. We don't expect anything that has not been given a full report that is adopted by the committee to be a property of the committee.
Honorable Bredenach, I want to close this matter after the smoke.
I can be very quick. All our stars master.
I think it's important to agree on the modus operandi. It is quite clear that we are not at one as to how we should approach debates. Maybe we should set aside time, because I want to agree that when work is in progress in the committee, we should allow that process to run its course and then start the engagement later on. Honorable Horn.
Yes, Chair. As you say, I also want to put this to bed now. But one thing must not go unchallenged here, and that is that if we go back to the minutes, if they have been drafted, because we're very sluggish in this committee to approve minutes, the record will clearly show that the ANC members of this committee at the last meeting, in very, very concise and clear terms, informed the department that unless Clause 11 is removed, they will do it themselves. So there was no room for the debate. If you remember, I even pleaded at the conclusion of the last meeting, let's not shelve Clause 11 finally. Let's reword it then to the satisfaction of everybody. And I was shut down. So there was no uncertainty at that stage as to what the committee had decided. So to come back now and here and say that this is still an ongoing debate, I think is a bit disingenuous. It's not fair to me, who was the one fighting for Clause 11 then. As the Honourable Breidenbach said, we can say that, okay, you've changed your minds. We can even say that we've convinced you in the meantime by whatever we did, maybe. But to say that it was an ongoing debate, I don't think that's fair to me.
I don't think that we should personalize the problems of our people. No one can come here and say, personally, I did this and this and this. It would be wrong to say that, because we are here to solve problems as a collective, and we collectively need to take charge. You can't come here to the committee and want to do a political point scoring. At last meeting, yes, we did discuss very robustly about how we must deal with this matter. And when you read the amendments today, they show that there is a fallback in terms of a lot of things that we have raised and the redrafting and so on. So it was actually mischievous and disingenuous for Honorable Horn and Honorable Breidenbach to call a march at the gate there prematurely, because we had not finalized. We had requested the department in the previous meeting to go and re-look into these matters. And if you check the two clauses that were raised, these two clauses, they are amendments and now they read differently. And that's what we have requested the department to do. And that's why I'm thanking the department chair to say, we are not taking the work that we very light. We can see when we raise sharply, we just want solution for our people, because we represent the majority of the people in South Africa. We want solutions, so they must assist us to get solutions. So they are doing so, and that's why we are here.
Thank you for your divergent views. I think we should take comfort in the fact that we have capable officials who are able to sift from all these divergences and come up with something that is in the best interest of our people. And Honorable Mrs. Ross Bassett of Van Rooyen, thank you very much for the job well done.
Thank you, Chair. The amendments that we discussed this morning will require amendments to the memorandum on the object as well. I don't know how the committee wants to deal with that. Is that more administrative? I think that needs to be sorted out, or does it need to be discussed here? My experience in the past is that the department has generally done this on an administrative basis to bring the narrative into line with the proposed changes in the bill.
I think that's the most sensible way to do it administratively. But also, I don't think that we need to present the bill clause by clause. I think we should take the bill as a whole.
Chair, as I said, there is the A-list. This document is a working document. So the formal amendments, as they are required to be set out in terms of the norms and standards relating to amendments, committee amendments, are proposed in that document. And that document is nothing more than the amendments as they are set out in the working document.
I want to be assisted to understand that Hellman, maintenance officer, is of the opinion that the person lodging complaint referred to in paragraph 8 is unable to pay costs. How does it actually read? Remember, our concern was who is supposed to pay costs when the service provider is involved. What is conclusion? Just saying in a nutshell.
Nutshell A means test is built into the provision. If the maintenance officer is of the opinion that the person lodging the complaint is unable to pay for the cost, then the maintenance officer would request the court to hold an inquiry into the new test, and then the court would then make an order, including an order that the state pays for the cost of the direction.
So what has been built in is a new test. Okay, thank you.
Last five. Amendments. Okay, so those who are in favor of the bill as a whole, as amended, can you all raise your hands? Honorable Bonga is inviting you. He's inviting you to the
Chief. Yeah, you know, I know we must celebrate it, but obviously we, like always, the caucus decides on whether we will support. Yes.
It's really parliamentary to tell us about your caucus decisions outside the meeting of the committee.
Sometimes it's important to remind oneself that one's organization is still alive. Maybe that's an attempt to do so. And Honorable Mpumla was so peaceful today, I don't know why he got into trouble.
Thank you, Chair. The two documents that have been submitted, and the one is again a working document, making some suggestions or building some options, and the other is the A list. Edward Sien, the other one hasn't been made available, I'm not too sure. But anyway, I think the important document is the one that you have before you. It's the working document, of work in progress to date. And
before you proceed, we are distributing a copy of the court judgment. You remember that we applied for extension up to August 5th, and that has been granted. And I think we should really again thank the Speaker's office. I think the lawyers in the Speaker's office have really done a very good job. And they kept us posted with developments. And Advocate General, thank you very much for the good job done. You'll get copies. And maybe if you can prepare a package of the documentation that you prepared for court sphere for our recruiter.
Thank you, Chair. A document has been submitted and circulated. It's a working document. It sets out the amendments to date that have been discussed by the committee. Now, unfortunately, the document that you have doesn't give a colour, but the amendments in yellow are amendments that have already been discussed, and I would assume, I get a sense, have been accepted by the committee. At the last meeting of this committee on the bill, we requested to draft a few proposals at the request of Mr. Swart, and those indicated in blue, which unfortunately you're not able to see on a black and white document, but I'm going to ask Mr. Dupria possibly just to highlight the ones that are in blue that give effect to this committee's request when we last met on Wednesday last week. Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Chair, on page 2 of the document, you will see at the bottom of the page the word option with a footnote there as well. That is now one of our blue or new insertions. I will get to this option when we get to the proposed amendment of section 57. So with your permission, I would like to skip that proposed amendment at this stage, Mr. Chair. On page 3 of the document, there's nothing new. On page 4, once again, we have an option. It is also footnoted that we were requested to look at possibly amending the definition of consent to clarify the position, to refer to the position of children between the ages of 12 and 16 years. You will note that we have also inserted a footnote there, and I must just add that in the submission by we refer to it as the Teddy Bear Clinic document, the previous one, where they submitted the proposed amendment of section 57. They also referred to the possibility of amending the definition of consent, but they were concerned that such an amendment should rather be consulted on widely, and we came to agree in that regard. You will note that in our footnote we indicate to the committee that the department does have certain reservations about the proposed amendment. Then on page 5, those highlights are yellow highlights, so they have been brought to the attention of the committee, and those are actually merely textual or formatting amendments, Mr. Chair, which we have been including in our A list on page 6. Nothing new, as well as on page 7. On page 8, there's one small amendment, and that's the one where we omit the word and between paragraphs A and B. That's the only new or blue amendment. The rest of them are yellow. On page 10 as well, clause 8, those are also yellow amendments previously submitted to the committee. On page 11, we come to the option of the proposed amendment of section 57. That is the amendment as proposed by or in the Teddy Bear Clinic document. So first of all, they propose that the heading of the section be amended by omitting the words of children under 12 years and persons are mentally disabled, so that the heading of the provision will only be the inability to consent to sexual acts. And then the proposed amendment that a new subsection 3 be inserted in section 57 that reads, subject to section 15, a person who is under the age of 16 years may not consent to any act of sexual penetration. The amendment at the bottom of the page is once again just, if I call it a format or a technical amendment, Mr. Chair. Page 12 and 13, we have old or yellow proposed amendments, and then on page 14, just need to indicate to you, Mr. Chair, that if the proposed amendment of section 57 is accepted, then the heading in the index to the Act should then also be amended. Mr. Chair, if I might take you back to page 11 then, and the proposed amendment of section 57 of the Act, we have indicated in the footnote at the bottom of the page that we do not, we have reservations about the proposed amendment
primarily because we are concerned that it may give rise to interpretational problems. But we understand the concern or the need for something to this extent to be included in our statutory revisions. So what the department would like to propose, Mr. Chairman, that's why I would like to take you back to page 3 then, is instead of an amendment to section 57, which the department is concerned about, is to possibly include a preamble in this bill. And I would like to, if with your permission, read it to you. This is only merely the first draft and a proposal, Mr. Chair, but we feel that the preamble might plus this amendment bill in proper context and possibly also raise certain concerns which were highlighted early on during the processes of the committee. The preamble will read, bearing in mind that the Constitutional Court found in the 10-day case for abused children versus the Minister of Justice and Constitutional Development with a citation, that sections 15 and 16 of the Criminal Law Sexual Offences and Related Matters Amendment Act 2007, Act 32 of 2007, are unconstitutional insofar as they criminalise consensual sexual conduct between adolescents. And bearing in mind that the primary objective of sections 15 and 16 of the Act, namely to protect children who are 12 years or older but under the age of 12 years from adult sexual predators, remains unaffected by constitutional court judgment and consequently also does not lower the age of consent in respect of sexual acts to 12 years. And I think that is actually the gist of it, Mr. Chair, the very important paragraph. And then we would like to propose as well that, and bearing in mind that it is necessary and in the best interest of adolescents and therefore of paramount importance to educate and inform them about their own responsibilities and the risks that may be associated with developed mentally normal sexual behavior. Mr. Chair, then I would have to apologize. Our working document still only reflects 3 paragraphs. In our aid list, we included the 4th paragraph, and I will just read it to you, because now we lay emphasis on the teddy bear case, and then very late during our drafting process, the question arose, should we also refer to the J case as well, so because the bill aims to give effect to both cases. So we would like to propose then a 4th paragraph as a preamble with the following, and bearing in mind that the constitutional law in the case of J versus the National Director of Public Prosecutions and others with the citation found that the automatic inclusion of the particulars of persons who were children at the time of the commission of the sexual offences in the National Register for Sex Offenders is contrary to the best interest of the child principle and therefore not justified in an open and democratic society. And then you will have your enactment laws be therefore enacted by the Parliament of the Republic of South Africa as follows. So that is what we would like to propose as an alternative to the proposed amendment of Section 57. And then I would just like to draw your attention, Mr. Chair, there's 2 typos. I apologize for that. That's my mistake. On page 3, the first paragraph of the preamble, the third line, the third last word, or the first 3 last words, criminal law, sexual offences and related matters. Between the word law and sexual offence, sexual, there should be a bracket. And then the reference to the act in the next line, 2007 Act, and then we just need to insert number 32 of 2007.
Chairperson, thank you, and thank you to the drafters for looking at the issues that are raised. Can I just start with the, on page 5, the reference to section 129 of the Children Act. I need to hear more about the unintended consequences, because that is taken straight from section 129, which relates to a child consenting to any surgical operation. So I'm not sure exactly what it is that is, and this is only a form of protection for children. That's why it is suggested. That's why it's in the Children's Act as well, to protect children. So if I could have a better understanding of what the concern is,
what we are dealing with there is a child that may not be sufficiently mature to consent to engage in acts of sexual penetration. It's a very narrow issue and it relates straight to the issue of consent. So we need to deliberate on this. I know we need to finalize this, but this is a very important issue. It relates to the part of consent. And the issue relating to the amendment to Section 57, I appreciate the preamble and I've got a further proposed amendment to the preamble, but I'm not so sure that we should just leave the Section 57, and I would need us to engage further on why it is felt that it would lead to interpretation problems, considering that that submission comes from the childline grouping. There are many people involved and Skelton that could have considered the difference. Maybe, and I know we can't really delay this, but can we not address the discussion between the drafters and the drafters on childline and Skelton just as to whether there is an interpretation problem? My reading as a lawyer, if you say it's subject to Section 15, that makes it very clear. Subject to Section 15, a person who is under the age of 16 may not consent to any acts of sexual penetration, subject to Section 15. So, I appreciate the fact that this might be seen as a lack of clause in the bill, and we don't want interpretation problems. But can we not have the preamble in that? We put the preamble in, and if... Did you want to finalise this today still?
I think some of the issues you raised, why don't we leave that to the academics? Because amendments are always welcome. But if we want to reach absolute perfection, it's not going to help us in the circumstances. I thought that the preamble is actually helping us to move out of the situation so that we can finalize the bill. But you know, future parliaments and even this parliament can reconsider some of these matters, but we shouldn't really try to reach absolute perfection.
I appreciate the sense of urgency that we've got, and Chair, maybe I'm sorry, Chair, you see there's also opportunity in the NCOP process. The bill has to go to the NCOP process as well. So that is an option, but I will still have to vote on these options even if I've voted on it. And then the last issue relating to the preamble, I put an insertion, and it's purely a quote from the Constitutional Court judgment, it's section 81, which actually captured it very well. And as opposed to the clause bearing in mind, because the term developmentally normal is a very loaded term. What it means to a traditional authority, what it means to an academic, is very different. So we don't need to stir things. Although the judgment made it very clear, accepted the expert evidence, we don't need to put into, and I'd prefer to quote another paragraph from the judgment, which would read, and it's straight from the judgment, and bear in mind that the purposes of discouraging adolescents from prematurely engaging in consensual sexual conduct, which may harm their development, and from engaging in sexual conduct in a manner that increases the likelihood of the risks associated with sexual conduct materializing, are legitimate and important. And that's straight from the judgment, Chair. I apologize to the Chair that it's not in writing. I've just looked at it now. We only got this amendment this morning as well.
Thank you, Chairperson. I do understand Honorable Schwartz's sentiments and think that we should actually guard against unintended consequences. There's a number of issues that really should be clarified, areas of the age gap in relation to age of consent, vulnerability of girls, of course education is covered. As we navigate forward, we don't have a bill that's oriented to any respect in the face. We must be sure that what we're going to adopt today is something that's really covering all that has been raised as concerns before.
Yes, we know on the proposed amendment to section 57, I agree with Mr. Swart. We as a department, we didn't have much time to deal with this. We were only in the committee last week on Wednesday. We ideally, which we haven't been able to do, even consult with the National Prosecuting Authority to see what they would say about such an amendment. I would also feel more comfortable if we didn't proceed with that particular amendment and have a look at it at a later stage. We haven't consulted with wider groups of people that have been part of this consultation, massive consultation process as well. So I would also be reluctant to, without having had a deep, been able to go into this more carefully, to leave it. So we are dealing with another, if this will help in any sense, we are coming up towards the end of the year with possibly another judicial matters amendment bill, and we could possibly include it, have a look at it with a view to that, inserting it in that bill. There are, and maybe I can say now, it's been brought to our attention that there's a possibility that we would come with an amendment to amend the provisions dealing with the sex offenders registration register. And so there will possibly be other amendments relating to the Sex Offences Act, and we could consider it at the same time as this.
If you would just then note my options, I think that's the best way to go forward. I don't necessarily, but I would like that insertion in the place of this one paragraph. Would you need time to consider that, or maybe the legal advisors could advise us on that? Because we've just received in the preamble, again noting that it's a direct quote from the Constitutional Court, and it highlights the fact that we have raised about the need to protect adolescent children.
We don't have any. I think what Mr. Swart read out makes a lot of sense, and I think it is possibly better than what we've got in for as far as that paragraph is. So we don't have a problem with that.
Any other view? Are we happy with it?
Mr. Jeswari, is it constitutionally acceptable to quote directly from the judge?
Yes. We changed the word instruction. We put in and there in there. It's not a direct quote. And then lastly, the issue of the consensus section, the 129, I'll just note that there's an option if the committee feels uncomfortable to continue at the stage. I'm not sure what the committee views on that. It's difficult to, because everyone hasn't had the time to consult and study.
I think we are at a level where we must think away caucuses and study groups. We are sitting as a committee of parliament. Those who have not done their homework should not bring their homework here. What we'll do is to allow the officials to rework this. We'll meet again next week and finalize this matter. Because we also cannot say all the people that we consulted before we are going to reconsult. Now we're working within the time frame set by the court. We cannot delay this matter any further. Because the requirements of the court is very simple and straightforward. So can we allow to rework this in the light of these good proposals by Mr. Swart, which is accepted by all of us, and then we meet next week and take the process forward.
Could we not come out just tomorrow?
Thank you, Chairperson. It's an invite from the Senior Committee on Security and Justice, which will be hosting a one-day workshop on the implementation of the Child Justice Act on the 27th of May. The workshop will be attended by members of the Select Committee on Security and Justice, chairpersons of identified PCs, select committees in Parliament, the Ministry and Department, and external stakeholders, stakeholder organizations relevant to the sector. Time will be 10 o'clock, various Good Hope Center. And I think the idea here might be that members are interested to actually indicate you to the Office of the Chairperson. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you very much. Thank you.